Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 project here on the Nerd Party Network. We make our way through the A24 filmography and along the way bring you interviews with the talent involved in front of and behind the camera. In this episode, we dive into Claire Denis's Stars at Noon. So Dallas, how are you?
Oh, apart from getting over my first cold in about 3 years, I've tested negative for COVID for the last 4 days. So yeah, colds are back. The regular common cold. It's not even like an uncommon cold, just common cold. I'm like, ugh, I'd forgotten how bad these feel. And then it's like, yeah, I mean, and annoyingly, it's happened at a weekend when, you know, you would otherwise, I would be more inclined to, you know, take time off work to recuperate and also not give it to anyone, you know, whereas like 4 years ago, it's like, if you had a cold, I'd just go into work anyway, it doesn't matter. But now I kind of feel bad if I give other people germs.
And was it exciting to be housebound but a new A24 film to finally catch up on?
Well, it certainly broke up the, you know, basically the live stream of football, which I wasn't planning on watching. But, you know, there's not really much else on the telly at the moment. So it did give me a break, although I wasn't expecting a 2 hours and 20 minute long interval from the sport.
Yes, so let's dive into this one. So set in present-day Nicaragua, a headstrong American journalist and a mysterious English businessman strike up a romance as they become embroiled in a dangerous labyrinth of lies and conspiracies and are forced to try and escape the country. So I remember back when we announced this one in A24 Hour News, I say announced as if like we are going, so we've got some news that A24 have just shared with us, you know, like as if it's
we relayed the news that, you know, They probably announced like 5 minutes after we'd finished recording an episode.
Exactly. So it was announced in February 2020 that they'd acquired the North American rights. And I remember us being both pretty excited because obviously I think we're a bit mixed on High Life, but we both love Robert Pattinson and Margaret Qualley was joining him in that. But it's a film that's kind of evolved quite a bit since then. So obviously Robert Pattinson had to drop out, but you know, the film had finally arrived. I think it got shown at Cannes, and now it's sort of been unceremoniously sort of dropped by A24. I think, you know, there's been a few of those films this year of like A24 films that kind of just get announced, drop, and never even get a, you know, a token tweet or, you know, an A24 GIF gets added. It's just sort of just, we bought it, here's the rights, we're just dropping it on Hulu or something like that. You know, it was a bit of an odd one for this one. So, you know, for me, one thing that stood out, and perhaps it, before we dive into our thoughts on the film, it was something that stood out to me straight away where I saw the trend of two in this film. So, you know, it's the second Margaret Qualley A24 film after the very underrated Native Son. It's Joe Elwyn's second A24 film after The Souvenir Part 2. It's the second Joe Elwyn film where he has had to replace Robert Pattinson. It's Benny Safdie's second acting role in an A24 film after Good Time. And it's Claire Denis's second directorial effort after High Life. So Dallas, you have obviously watched this one over the weekend. What did you kind of know going in? Were you familiar that it was adapted from this 1986 novel by Dennis Johnson that while set in Nicaragua, it was set during sort of a revolution of the 80s? But it's now set in sort of a COVID period. How much did you sort of know going in, and what was your reaction?
I didn't know. I didn't realize. I hadn't known it was based on a book, and sort of I'd heard not great things coming out of Cannes, so my expectations were tempered slightly. Although I think I had read a few things that sort of praised Margaret Qualley's performance. So as you know, go in, you know, just no expectations. Let's see what it is, you know, might be good, might be bad, let's see. And I have to say that what I got was quite a bad film. I think for me there is no greater crime for a film than to just be boring, and this film sadly was very, very boring. I had trouble actually loading it on my Apple TV. It just, you know, it said error, trouble, you know, loading this content. And yeah, maybe I should have actually stuck with that. Well, unfortunately, it played on my phone, so I had to watch it on my phone. But clearly my Apple TV was maybe trying to tell me something. I was able to watch the trailer on it, and it was basically telling me I was about to watch, you know, some erotic thriller and stuff like that. And essentially, erotic thriller essentially means, you know, people doing a sex scene where you actually get to see everything, as opposed to, say, like a PG-13 romance where the woman is, you know, still under the sheets. So you've got the L-covered sheets where they're, you know, post-coitus, where the woman's parts are covered up, yet the man is you know, topless down to the waist. But there was none of that here. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking during the film was, you know, what would Andy McDowell and Taylor Swift be making of all this? You know, I mean, whew, it was quite the eye-opener in that respect.
I look forward to hearing about it in the next Taylor Swift album.
I'll have to go through the lyrics for Midnights and figure out if any of those songs are about stars at noon.
I mean, for me, I got the iTunes rental. It kind of worked okay for me, but it was one of those ones, it was difficult. Usually with like a film, I would watch it, you know, all in one go. But with this one, I think I watched it over sort of, you know, three segments, as it were, which it was one of those things. I was on sort of holiday at the time, and I thought, you know, I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to get back into my sort of hotel room, you know, just dive into the film, you know, kind of stay toasty. And yeah, I'd watched a bit of it, and I just found myself just like, oh, I'm not kind of clicking with this, right? You know what? I'm going to take a break from it just now, come back to it maybe later. Did that. Then sort of in the next day finished it off, and it was just one of those ones. It was just like, it was a very long 140 minutes watch, and I think of it, it was the sort of same runtime as Knives Out, and I caught that yesterday, and never once did I sort of look at my watch or think, oh, I'm bored, or think about how much I needed the toilet. You know, I was engaged with that sort of mystery movie, you know, the suspense of that, whereas this one just was kind of like, oh, this isn't just kind of going well at all. I mean, the film is a very slow burner, but it's almost slow as good. But this one, it's slow to almost a standstill. You know, there's things when you hear about it, you know, we could talk about it, where it's like the military's like hot in pursuit of this couple, you know, in this erotic charged thriller. You know, as a romance, I guess I get that they're sort of like kind of using each other to an extent, both kind of in very different ways, you know, financially and emotionally. But, you know, you never feel like a spark or a connection between these two. And, you know, like with Joel Alwyn, I don't really like him at things. I've yet to see him.
I don't get the Joel Alwyn thing. A24, if you're listening, if Robert Pattinson passes on another role, please do not replace him with Joel Alwyn again, because, yeah, no, I don't get the thing about it. Is it just because he's Taylor Swift's boyfriend or not? I mean, I don't know what else he's done, but he wasn't impressive at all. He didn't have any sort of he didn't exude like an air of mystery or like a danger or threat. I had no idea why the CIA and the Costa Rican cops and whatever were all after this guy. You know, it wasn't really ever explained. And, you know, there was also no real reason. It's like, why was Margaret Qualley's character really attracted to him and willing to risk everything for this man who, you know, had no personality whatsoever? At least Margaret Qualley's character, even though she is an awful human being, she's a terrible journalist, she had a bit of spark about her, as you know. But she was just it didn't help that her character as well was pretty awful, you know, a human being. So therefore, why are you really caring about, you know, if she manages to get out of this situation that she somehow got herself into, where she's gone to this country to report on all the bad things that are happening and has managed to get her press pass and passport and money taken away from her? It's just like, why should I care? And that's a huge problem. And like you say, time is relative. It's like, yes, I was clock watching during this film as well, and it was like, really? It's like, I'm only 40 minutes in, I'm only like an hour and a half in. It's like, this film did not need to be 2 hours and 20 minutes long. I'm really intrigued to know, you know, High Life, whereas, you know, it doesn't work entirely, but it still captivated me in certain ways and had intriguing characters and stuff going on. I'm not really sure what Claire Denis really saw in this story, because I don't think it really tells us much about, you know, obviously the situation's been updated from where the book was when it was set in the 80s. You know, it's now set in sort of, again, this is the second film that, you know, we just talked about Glass Onion on the other podcast. The other, another film which, you know, COVID is, plays a part in, you know, it's set in that time, everyone's got face masks and isn't doing checks and stuff like that. But again, it's like, did it need to be set in that time? Just because they were filming at that time, they had to put it in. I mean, it didn't really make any real sense to me. It's just like, there was nothing captivating about this film, and it didn't tell me about anything about Nicaragua and really about the political situation going on and stuff like that. It was all done in very, very broad strokes.
Yeah, I was watching it and just like, oh, how is she not able to leave the country? Like, part of me just could not wrap my head around how she was trapped within this country. And, you know, I guess that, you know, whether it's kind of transport and stuff, but there's just this talk of like, oh, you know, money and such like, and it's just like, it, you know, this idea that she's trapped in the country and that can be used by this sort of like Benny Safdie. I mean, Benny Safdie, you know, he brings more to this film than kind of our lead. So like,
yes, it was the things definitely picked up when Benny Safdie turned up in like a Hunter S. Thompson Hawaiian shirt sort of thing, but he came in far too late. That was the problem. It was like, there was probably like, oh, it was probably nearly about the 2 hour mark before we got the sort of one genuine highlight of the film.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, you were watching going, oh, that's, there's an interesting film to be there, but this film isn't it, you know, like, I just could not buy the central conceit of these people being interesting enough to pursue. I mean, you know, we kind of get this idea that with sort of Joe Alwyn's kind of character, Daniel, that he's claims to be that he's working for this big oil conglomerate, but actually he might be looking to destabilize the government. I mean, we think of A24 films, often the stakes of these films are so personal and minor and so on. And, you know, with something like this, it's like, oh, someone's destabilizing government. Oh, this is pretty big for A24. But you never sort of feel like anything like that's kind of going, or looking at him going, there's so little about this film that I found enjoyable whatsoever. And, you know, I didn't see much of Claire Denis in this film. Obviously, you know, she's had a couple of films out this week. I think, was it Both Side of the Blade came out this year as well? A bit more of an interesting film for sure there. But what did you make of her work with this one? Did you think she did a good job as a director here?
I mean, I think no, probably to be honest. I mean, she clearly wasn't able to draw out any sort of real performance from Joe Alwyn, and wasn't able to generate any sort of real chemistry between the two leads, which would have at least been something if you really felt that the two had like a real relationship or a desire for each other that then fed into like decisions that were made towards the end, where, you know, does she betray this man that apparently she loves in order to get her, you know, get a way back into America and stuff like that, you know. But it never really felt like there was that. And also, pacing wise, you know, that is again a directorial sort of indecision that sort of comes into it. And also, like, screenplay wise, there just wasn't enough in there to merit, you know, this turgid and boring an experience. And, you know, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, yeah, like, say, you know, a film that takes its time is fine as long as it justifies the runtime, and this one did not justify the runtime at all.
No, it didn't. And, you know, do you think A24 have made the right decision to sort of essentially kind of just drop this one? Do you not think there's some way that, you know, with the right A24 trailer behind it or something, that this could be one that could get it, like,
It's a difficult one to know what they were expecting. Perhaps, you know, on paper, like you say, well, we were excited, you know, sort of 2-3 years ago when it was announced. It was like Claire Denis, who did High Life. It's got Margaret Qualley, who's just at that point coming off of, say, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Robert Pattinson, you know, A24 hero. Great, you know, everything was lining up. Yeah, this could be something really interesting. And then for some reason or another, it just hasn't really come together. You know, having seen the finished film, I'm struggling to wonder if Robert Pattinson had been in the film, would it have been any better?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, there's potential if he'd maybe played it like where, you know, he sometimes swings for fences, sometimes like the what's the one with the where he played like the Southern preacher, where
One of these Netflix movies, yeah, that somehow very few people ever got around to watching.
Yeah, something had like the devil in the title or something. Something like that kind of performance, even though, of course, he's meant to be a British spy or something like that. But if he'd maybe gone slightly out there with his characterization, maybe it would have made it slightly more interesting. Would he have potentially had more chemistry with Margot Qualley as well? Yes. So there maybe was a good film in there. But unfortunately, what we got was not that. And I think another thing that really annoyed me is that by the end of the film, nothing really had changed in terms of like characterization and stuff like that. You know, adaptation, there's a bit where Robert McKee's telling Charlie Kaufman that, you know, in the end, your characters have to change and the change needs to come from them. And it's like, I never really felt like the character, Margot Qualley's character, really learned anything about herself. And in terms of stakes, you know, it's like you think that, you know, it's there's potential for one or both of them to be killed. You know, they're apparently in this incredibly dangerous situation, yet apparently just a couple of phone calls and some chat with a CIA means that, you know, in the end, yeah, kind of all worked out, didn't it? And it's like, well, that's incredibly disappointing. I thought, you know, there needs to be some real stakes in order to justify, you know, our investment in these characters. And yeah, for me, I was completely sort of let down, especially by the ending. Especially, I thought it was just like, well, that really wasn't worth my time after everything that had gone before. So
yeah, it's one of those ones. I think if you have an opportunity to go, you know, you're maybe housebound this week or something, just like yourself, or just looking for a film to watch, obviously you get this on Hulu. But, you know, I'd really recommend people, while they still can, get to go to the cinema and see After Sun. You know, it's been doing really well at the UK box office. And, you know, that's a film where it's about, you know, really personal stakes, a nice runtime as well, and, you know, one where, you know, that's what going to the cinema is all about. With this, it's just one where, you know, it pays tribute to the better or worse parts of streaming, where it's just, here's a film added on there for someone to watch some content. And, you know, I don't know how many people will actively go out of their way to watch this film. I can't imagine, if it didn't have something to do with A24 and doing this podcast, that I would have ever got round to watching it, which says a lot.
I guess you kind of know when you sort of look at I looked up like the Wikipedia of it, to sort of, because when I'd seen that in the credits, you know, that it was based on a book, I was like, oh, okay, I want to find out about that. And then you go to the film's Wikipedia page and you see box office, $2,823 at the box office. It's like, yeah, this one was dumped in maybe one screen seen by probably about a couple of hundred people or something. It's like, you can see a situation where, you know, if it had got a better reaction at Cannes, we might have seen, you know, a bigger push to get it out there. But it's clear that any sort of buzz regarding sort of Margot Qualley's performance that had started at Cannes has fizzled out, and we're not really going to be seeing any. This is not going to be playing. I did see it included in somebody's screener selection for A24, but it's probably just this is everything we've released this year, as opposed to these are the ones that we want you to focus on. But I think it's fair to say that the come Oscar time, it will be Everything Ever All at Once, The Whale, and After Sun as the big three, and Marcel, of course, is animated as well. So
we saw, like, I think you're probably certain as well, there was these Twitter accounts kind of posting their A24 like gift box that they got this year. And, you know, as you say, you got like a little Marcel the Shell
for your consideration box. I know that we're not in technically any critic circles, A24, but we have given you a fair amount of promotion over the last 4 years. So the least that you could do, surely, is you don't have to send us the screen notes, but you could send us the box of goodies, you know, just, you know, slip into our DMs and we'll give you our addresses if that's what's holding you up.
Yeah, there was that brilliant like framed photo of from After Sun. You know, there was just, you know, a nice range of some things of like, yeah, basically like a notepad and some sort of nicer touches. But if you were to sort of go in from this, if you were to go in from this movie and go, I'm adding an item into the box, what would you add in from from Stars at Noon, what would be the little thing that deserves to go in that? Would it be sort of like a Stars at Noon themed condom, for example? Would it be sort of a Benny Safdie style kind of floral shirt? What's the little touch that gets added into the box?
I would say a Stars at Noon COVID face mask.
Ah, good shout.
Which is still one thing I'm surprised A24 didn't do, was do branded face masks, you know, selling them for like $20 each, because you know that someone would have bought them and worn them around New York City.
Most definitely. I could have 100% seen that. I'm genuinely surprised they did not do that. That's definitely a shocker.
Yeah. Next pandemic, they will. Next pandemic.
And here's the question as well. Wait, time recording this, you're still a triple A24 member. Did you get anything from their Black Friday weekend sale, Dallas?
It's on till Monday, so I'm still swithering. It's payday on Monday, so I will see what I can afford. But I think the one thing that I was looking to get is not included on their discount. So
is that the Green Knight box set?
No, it was the Marcel. The shell with shoes on.
I wanted the Green Knight set. I must admit, I'm definitely going to buy that eventually. But no, I've picked up a couple of the A24 books at the price they were at, so I'm looking forward to getting those in. But yeah, I don't think we're going to be seeing any Stars as Noon merch kind of dropping anytime soon. But you never know. This will be someone's favorite A24 film, and I'm sure someone enjoyed it more than us.
I'm sure it's probably not Taylor Swift's favourite one either.
No, most definitely not. So, yeah, next week we'll be back with a potentially a much more interesting kind of film. One that
I hope so. I really hope so after the last two. Hopefully we're back on an upward streak.
Yeah, so we're going to be back next week on Monday to talk about Causeway, and then we will be back on Friday to mark the release of The Whale in cinemas. It's one I've been desperate to talk about.
We're going
to
be up to date
for a couple months now.
First time in months.
Exactly. Yeah, there will still be one of the two little ones left to wait for, but until they drop, you know, that'll be us. So join us next week for a double feature.